No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today I am in here with Blair White. How you doing, Blair?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Before,
right? Heart open.
Context for the people watching at home. Beforehand, she was kind of like, man, I'm like really interested to see what you're going to ask me about.
And there's no one like me on your show.
What do you mean by that?
I just mean, I think you've had like... I mean, I haven't seen every episode.
We had Milo on here, so you're definitely not the first conservative.
Oh, really?
We had Keemstar on here.
Oh.
So there's a lot of very serious...
I have seen the one with Shane, Keemstar, and what's-his-face.
Did you see the full 4 hours, though?
No.
Because, to be honest, it would be 100% worth it. It was one of the best things I've ever been involved with, but,
really?
I mean, it's a lot to bite off.
I couldn't make it 4 hours.
I got 45 good minutes of Shane Dawson before everything exploded.
45 minutes of him before he just loses it and can't handle it.
Mm. How do you know Shane?
I've known him for years, actually, since the beginning of my YouTube. We met in 2016 when I first started.
Oh, okay.
I think I had like 30,000 subscribers, and he hit me up and he was like, "Will you come to LA and do my podcast?" And at the time, I was living like in the middle of nowhere, like didn't even think of YouTube really as a career. And I was like, "Yeah, you can fly me out to LA for fun."
He flew you out for the podcast?
Yeah, he threw me out. He just really liked my content. And
Shane Dawson flyout is very, very rare.
Yeah.
He didn't try to get at you?
No.
You didn't think for a minute, like, damn, maybe Shane's trying to take a walk on the wild side, no?
I don't think so, because he also got a ticket for my boyfriend at the time that I had, so.
Well, maybe you thought he just wanted to get real, real legit with it.
Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, we've been friends since then, so love him.
That's nice. So middle of nowhere, where's the middle of nowhere to you?
Okay, maybe I was exaggerating. I'm from Northern California, so I've lived in Cali my whole life, but moved here like 2 years ago.
What town?
Chico, California. It's like a college town up north.
So that's not that nowhere. There's a lot of like California towns that are pretty much nowhere because there's just absolutely nothing within like 20 miles of it. But Chico's a little bit active, right?
Yeah, I guess people just don't really know about it. But
I don't know anything about it. I just know I've heard about it a little bit, which is more than I could say for a lot of the shithole towns
True.
Around here.
True.
Yeah. So what was it like growing up out there?
It was different. The area was very much, it was like a different time. It was like early 2000s, and it was like not as open towards gay or trans people. So that was something I definitely dealt with. A lot of bullying and like just family bullshit.
When did you start to figure it out, the trans thing though?
I remember feeling like different or gender dysphoria around like 3, 4, or 5. And I obviously didn't have the language to like describe what it was at that time, but the feelings intensified as I got older. And then by the time I was 19, I was like, okay, I have to like do something.
Right. So you knew that you had to do something? Because like, you know, now like the trans debate is constantly playing out in public on YouTube, et cetera.
Yeah.
And it feels like, you know, we end up talking about a lot of sort of non-serious trans people, I guess, is maybe the category I would put them into when we're talking about, you know, people who are sort of claiming to be some different gender identity or whatever, but there's like very little discernible like sign that they're really serious about it.
Like, and identifying as squirrels and shit.
You know, because we're just so used to having conversations about all this weird ass shit, but you're saying that you were somebody who it was like, no question, like you had to do something.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I remember being in kindergarten and like having teachers ask me like, why are you walking like a girl? Or why are you hanging out with only girls? And I remember it was always jokes when I was younger with my family, like saying that like I had all these girlfriends, and that was their way of like dealing with it, that like I'm just like a player at like age 6.
Do you think that they knew that there was something going on, that you were different though?
Oh yeah, for sure. I don't think many people were like shocked when I came out as trans.
I remember hearing my mom have a conversation with her friend about how she didn't think I was gay. And that was really weird for me because I was like 6. And I didn't really fully know what gay was.
Right. So they wanted you to be gay, or they didn't want you to be gay?
No, my mom was just like 100% sure I wasn't. And she was talking to her friend on the phone about it. And I remember just overhearing the phone call and just thinking like, well, what the hell? Like, I don't think I don't know what that is. And I'm pretty sure I'm not it. It seems weird because it seemed like...
I used to hate like, gay people when I was little.
Really?
I hated gay people.
Why? Just because you felt like... deep down inside, you had that gene in you.
Well, it's that like, you know, you like you hate what you secretly are kind of are, and like obviously trans is different than gay, but it's like, you know.
Right.
I remember very distinctly having a conversation with my mom in the car, in which I was like asking her like, "What do you think about gay people?" I was like 11, 12, and she's like, "They're fine," and I'm like, "I hate them." I was like, "I fucking hate them."
Right.
Which is so ironic now, but.
Wow. And what did your mom tell you? Because if I had said something like that to my mom as a kid, she would have smacked the shit out of me.
Yeah, she was like, that's really rude, and just make sure you never say that around anyone else but me.
Really? But yeah. Me? You could share your homophobia with me?
Basically, yeah.
Really?
That's interesting.
So. Yeah, I mean, she was like, it's wrong, but like, just be quiet.
Wow, that's an interesting thing, because I remember I heard Howard Stern basically like talking shit about Jewish people. Well, of course, he's Jewish, so mm-hmm. he's like, you know, he gets a bit of a pass. And I remember that I used one of like the things he was saying, just something about how Jews have all the money or some shit. I said that in front of my mom, and I was like 11 or 12, and oh my God, she was so fucking mad. And she just like couldn't comprehend where I got this from until she figured it out that I was like basically repeating something I'd heard a Jewish person say.
Yeah, I think it was like also a different time. Like, I feel like if I would have been like, something about a race or something, she would have freaked out. But back then, like, people were still, it was early 2000s, people were still debating if gay people, like, it should even be legal and shit. Like, it was just a different time.
Yeah. It's been a wild thing to see just how much our minds have opened up to all these things where, you know, the when you look at all these politicians who are acting so goddamn woke now, it's funny to think that, no, it's all right. You want to grab that, or should I have somebody grab it for you?
Call the maids.
Yeah. Do we have a maid? But, you know, just to think that, like, even, like, Obama didn't come out in favor of gay marriage till what, like, 2008 or something?
Right? Yeah. It was longer than 2008. It was, like, 2012.
Right, yeah.
It was really late. And people that, you know, want to say he was, like, the most progressive president, it's like, actually, no. A lot of people only came around to the gay thing once they felt like they had to.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Definitely. Once it was safe for him to do so.
Yeah.
I guess in the grand scheme of things, you know, it was like a big door for him to kind of break down, in a sense, to be the first president to openly say something about that. But it's weird when we think about it. It's like, it was like for all these years, any element of progressivism creeping into mainstream politics was just going at the snail's pace. And then over the past like couple of years, since Trump got in office, it's just exploded where now every Democratic candidate is competing on how extreme they can be.
Right, like raising their hands for fucking free
health insurance for undocumented
illegal
immigrants.
It's like
that was a big turning point, I think.
I guess so, but I didn't really see that much of an upset, like on the Democrat in the Democrat world, like in liberals online and stuff. Like, I don't know. I don't feel personally comfortable voting for anyone blue. Like, I don't feel comfortable with that party being in power right now. Did you see the clip going viral right now on Twitter? I think you actually might have retweeted it or tweeted or something. It was a video. The conference.
Point of personal privilege?
Yes.
Is that what they say? Yeah.
It was the conference. It was the Socialist American Conference or something. And there was just this, like, super, like, okay, I don't want to use a, like, really rude word, but, like, a very special person who was like, please don't use male pronouns. Please don't talk. It's hurting my brain. Like, it was weird.
It was so creepy because it made you sort of realize the prison that these people have created for themselves to live inside of, where language is so, like, that right there is, like, what you could eventually end up in if you really were to just completely just live your life by this logic that, like, language needs to be regulated in such a strict way.
Yeah, which is why, again, that's another reason why I'm not comfortable voting blue. It's like, I don't want things to get to that point, and, like, as far as I can see, they are.
Talk to me about this political journey that you've gone through, though. Were you ever, like, a hardcore leftist early on in your life? Or did you think you were? Did you just assume for a long time that was... Were you an Obama supporter?
I was. I was too young to actually vote for Obama, but I would have. But I was also really uneducated as a teenager. It wasn't until I became an adult that I started really thinking about things. And I kind of noticed that just naturally my positions were a little more right-wing than people in my town of Chico, California. And knowing instinctively that I couldn't express a single one of them around my friends without getting some sort of backlash, right? So I was like, okay, well then let me just make a YouTube video. So I did, and I expected a total of like 7 people to watch it.
And what was the video called?
I forget. I think it was about feminism. I think it was during that whole like debate. And so I made that first video, and I thought, like I said, 7 people will watch it. And I woke up and I had like 20,000 views overnight, my first YouTube video ever. And I was like, whoa. So I was like, okay, let me make another one. And then that one all of a sudden hit 200,000 views. And I was like, okay, let me make another one. And then it's just...
Do you think that part of it was just the immediate allure of like, oh, she's trans and she's conservative? That's crazy. Oh, and this was this before you transitioned even?
No, I had just started transitioning. I was like 3 months fresh on hormones.
Right.
Probably, you know, like I'm not going to deny there's like a niche factor. It's like there's no one else doing what I do on YouTube, and that helps, you know?
Right.
But I don't know. I like to think it was because I'm well-spoken and, like,
smart,
too.
Not to try to take that away from you or anything.
No, not you, but it's something I think about. It's like, would I be, you know, doing what I do at the level that I do it if I wasn't trans or if I wasn't, but, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But, okay, so to a lot of people, I'm sure you just constantly have people trying to suggest that there's some kind of hypocrisy in you being trans and being conservative. Let's address that. How do you feel about that?
Well, first of all, I definitely identify more as a Republican than conservative because I feel like conservative kind of denotes to more of, like, social views. Mm. And, like, I'm definitely pretty socially liberal. Like, not, like, to the extent of a lot of people these days, but I'm pretty socially classically liberal. Mm. But I do vote Republican. And a lot of people do think it's contradictory. But it's only contradictory if you go into it on the basis of, like, that I have to prioritize trans issues as my number one issue. Mm. Like, what if I care more about, like, fixing the VA? What if I care more about immigration? What if I care more about national defense or the economy? What if I think that I'm not comfortable with Bernie Sanders running the economy and turning it into a socialist hellhole, you know? Like, those things I prioritize above trans issues. So yeah,
that's interesting because to a lot of people it's like their identity is such an overwhelming part of who they are that they can't imagine associating themselves with anybody who wasn't just 100% like focused. But they couldn't imagine that not being the primary thing that they're basing their political viewpoint off of.
Yeah, but I think that's silly because I feel like there's just so much more to us than being trans or being black or being gay or being Asian. Like, it's, I don't vote with that in mind, especially when there's just like thousands of policies to take into consideration when you're thinking of who to vote for and what to vote for. Mm. And there's like, what, like maybe 7 trans policies a year, and it's state by state, maybe not even in my state. Why would I like base my political alignment based on that? You know,
but their argument is going to be like, Blair, you're voting for people that hate you, that want you dead. Because they always go to the extremes, which is
kind of
understandable for making an argument in this case. But
yeah, I mean, but then that also begs the question, like, do I have to base my voting on like how other people are voting just because there are other people who may not like me that also vote the same way? Does that mean I'm going to vote? Like, and personally, 95% of the hate mail I get online is from liberals and leftists. It's not from people on the right.
Oh, yeah.
So, and obviously that's because I'm a vocal, like, Republican presence. But at the same time, it's like, that's why it doesn't really work when you tell me, like, that they hate you. Because it's like, then why are 95% of people hating me liberal? So,
yeah, I guess. But I don't know. Like, there's an extent to which I was watching you have this conversation with Ben Shapiro. And it was,
oh my God,
you know, it was sort of a weird vibe because it's like I very much got the feeling that you were a little nervous and that you wanted to make a good impression on him because you'd listened to him a lot in the past and everything. But then he's kind of like got this like smug smirk on his face that's just almost like this guy doesn't give a fuck about like trans people or whatever. He'd be perfectly happy to never acknowledge this issue.
Oh no,
at
he
all.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
I mean, he's pretty upfront about that, but
yeah, with the Ben Shapiro video that I did, I had him on my channel and we talked about like it was pronouns, right? It was pronouns.
It was, yeah.
And for me, I was nervous just because I knew like, okay, this can get really heated and it could be kind of bad or it could go fine. So I was just very careful of what I was saying.
You could be in one of those like video compilations, like Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, let me
brutally
not end up,
owns yeah. trans activists.
Destroys tranny, which sounds like a Pornhub title.
We've all been through the wormhole of watching Ben Shapiro fucking roast people.
Everyone has.
Regardless if you like him or not, you got to spend a little time on that.
Yeah, but actually, to correct you a little bit, I actually didn't spend a ton of time watching him. Like, I only really watched a bit. But he was on another show and had mentioned me, and so I tweeted him, and I was like, okay, let's like talk then. And for me, it wasn't about changing his mind because, like, his mind's not going to change. He follows the money. He follows his existence. And it's no shade because everyone has their hustle, okay? He has kids to feed, whatever. His hustle is feeding lines to people who are going to have their biases reinforced. Mm. And that's how he makes his money. So if he were to go walk away from that conversation with me being like, you know what? Maybe trans people aren't shitty and we should, like, be a little kinder to them. Mm. He would probably literally lose money. He would literally lose support from a lot of people.
Because anything that he does go against the grain on, like the fact that he's anti-Trump, I mean, it's pretty obvious that his audience wants him to be pro-Trump so bad because his audience obviously for the most part voted for Trump. It's like there's no room for nuance here when you're trying to court the biggest possible audience.
Yeah, and I do respect him for being honest about his views about Trump despite his audience, but there's nothing like the trans cash cow when it comes to clickbait. It's very much that.
Maybe I should work on that more.
You probably should.
I never do any kind of trans clickbait.
You probably should.
I went to a drag queen convention and I did a vlog. My audience
You went to DragCon?
I did.
I didn't go this year.
Just on a whim. Not really something I ever even thought about in my life. My friend just asked me to go, and I did a vlog, and oh my God.
Did you have, what was the response? What?
Just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, what do you do? Because my audience are such bro, like bro
AKA
ass
the
dudes.
Comments on this video.
You know, yeah, yeah. Although it's going to be interesting to see what they think of you versus Lila, who was on here the other day, who I know you weren't particularly thrilled with. They did not like her.
I tried to watch that video. I really did. I just, that is just very clearly someone who, I don't want to be mean or anything. Like, it's just someone who's probably just very early in transition and figuring things out. And the way they acted was a little like, just, I just recognize what's going on there.
I liked her because she was just having fun with it.
Yeah, she was
talking about just like getting money out of dudes and shit. And I was just like, wow. Like, cause if she had had a little bit more time in the limelight, then she probably would not be so open about just everything.
Yeah, probably.
I had fun with it, but.
And by the way, I forgot to say it, fuck DragCon, because DragCon hit me up to do a panel and a meet and greet. And then I responded back and I was like, okay, let's set up a time. And they wanted like an image for the flyer. And I was like, okay, this is cool. Cause I went last year and they gave me a meet and greet.
And you sent a picture with a Trump hat?
No, no, they wouldn't have let me.
Sure
they wouldn't have let me.
Yeah.
You have to walk that line. When you're me, you have to walk that line. Like, okay, DragCon wants you, no hat.
Right.
This point, why she hat? But with DragCon, they just like all of a sudden ghosted me. I think like probably someone told them like that they shouldn't have me or whatever because I'm too controversial.
Or
neo-Nazi,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
However they're gonna frame it.
Yeah. So.
Do you feel like when you look at like if you go to like a you know a drag queen convention or some place where there's gonna be a ton of LGBTQ people, what is the reaction to you? Are people like, no, you're a fucking Nazi, or are people like?
No, those people are always silent. Like when I went to DragCon in 2018, it was nothing but love, and I had a lot of people there who supported me, and like no one said anything weird, and it was nothing but love. People who say that kind of shit online, they'll never say it in person. Never say it in person.
Yeah, and then sometimes you can tell who it is because you'll just sort of see them just sitting there looking like slightly unhappy, but like close enough,
like
to
breathing
be able,
out of their mouth, like
you know, close
glasses.
Enough to hear what you're talking about, but they're not saying anything, and then that's what it makes you think, like. That's somebody who's talking shit about me on Twitter.
Yeah, I was at, where was I the other day, Joey? We were in Target. We walked past this person, and like I instantly was like, there's no way that person hasn't said I fucking hate Blair White on Twitter. Like,
right.
That person looks like they hate me.
There's like a uniform with it too, yeah.
Yeah,
I went to a
sure.
Starbucks in the Valley with my girlfriend one time, and there was the barista is, I was just so sure that she hated me. And I just was like, holy fuck. Like I could create like a police sketch of like what exactly this girl's like political viewpoint is and like who she follows on Twitter and stuff. Like for me in my mind, I might have been overcompensating and just being a little too creative in my head, but I was pretty sure I knew exactly what she was thinking.
You can feel the energy when someone doesn't fuck with you,
you
period
know?
And you know when someone, and you also know when someone is silent but they like you.
Yeah,
you know that too.
And we also are all really good at stereotyping people whether we want to admit it or not. But you can look at somebody.
And it works a lot.
Yeah.
Stereotypes exist for a reason.
I mean, it can be a little tough because, like, if they're wearing a work uniform, it is what it is. But it's like,
yeah.
I mean, I can tell when a fan of me is coming, is when somebody's going to recognize me on the street from, like, a block away.
Oh, no. Yeah, me too.
You know?
You
so
can see
so
them, like,
demographic, the way they're dressed. The,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. It's interesting. There's, like, a big misconception about my audience. Everyone thinks that, like, my audience is, like, just, like, old, like, perverted, like straight white Republican men, and it's like actually my fans are all kids.
Really?
Yeah, they're all teenagers. There's some adults, but like for the most part I have 16, 17, 18 year olds, a lot of LGBT people. People wouldn't think that either, but like there's a lot of people out there that identify as LGBT who feel like they can't express certain opinions, and they kind of see me as like a conduit to speak them.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Was
it hard for you to start? How did you go about like publicly beginning to identify yourself as like conservative, which must have felt like kind of weird ground to start treading onto, just given the fact that, you know, it's almost like you haven't heard of any like well-known gay people that are like even gay, not even trans, who are conservative publicly facing.
Yeah, I've just never really given a fuck. Like I've never been the kind of person who hides who I am or what I think. Like, I mean, I can censor myself in certain conversations and settings, but like in terms of like my online platforms, I just say whatever I want to say. I've just really never cared, because that is a question I ask a lot. Like, how do you say what you say? And I'm like, I don't feel like anything I say is that crazy. I just say it.
But it's like you've been pretty early on a lot of stuff too that doesn't sound that crazy now. Like, just I saw you had some popular videos that were just like, there are two genders, but they're from like 2016.
Yeah, and that's like even more popular of a conversation now.
Yeah, you know? But that must have been like, I feel like that conversation has played out so much in public that now to hold the opinion that there are only two genders is kind of like a mainstream, a re-mainstreamified opinion, because this conversation has played out in public so much to the point where it's like, I've just heard a lot. Like, I just think it's kind of like brazenly obvious that there's so many people that are just like not buying into the sort of like super woke narrative. And even though it might be like enough to like get you called out on Twitter, that nobody thinks that you're that fucked up if you like hold those opinions.
Yeah. Those videos that I did, like you said, in 2016 were definitely like more controversial at the time. You know, it's definitely more mainstream now. But it also will still get you very hated, because even though it's more mainstream, it's still a very polarizing mainstream opinion. You know what I mean? Like, you still will get like 50-50, like yes, no.
I feel you, because, okay, when I say that, I feel like to say, have that opinion on the trans issue, like, oh, there's only two genders, that opinion has become like way more mainstream and nobody's like as surprised if you say that. But on the other hand, just mere being a fan of Trump has become like super controversial on Twitter and stuff to the, you know, like that has, I mean, you could have identified a situation in 2015, 2016 where it wasn't really like that big of a deal to root for him. And then now it just feels like it's fucking completely equated with you being a Nazi.
Yeah, absolutely. It's but it's also really strange, right? Because it's like, it's literally the president.
Yeah.
So it's literally like, it shouldn't be that crazy of a thing. Whether you love him or hate him, it shouldn't be that crazy of a thing. I feel like I have mixed views on Trump. I don't feel like I'm some fucking psycho fan of Trump. I feel like I would rather vote for Trump than anyone on the Democratic side. I know that for sure.
Were you always sure you wanted to vote for him?
Huh?
Were you always sure that you wanted to vote for him? Or like, how did that go?
No, it took realizing that Hillary was going to be the other option for me to be like, okay. And then I have been a fan of a lot of the policies he's enacted, tax reform, a lot of the judges he's put on, just different things. That's not to say I'm not critical of him as well. Like, I think the shit that he said yesterday, was it yesterday or the day before? I think yesterday, about like how we need to look into video games that are causing these shootings, right? Made me fucking sick. He also called upon social media to help regulate and find like potential extremists and stuff. And it's right. Like, social media is already given too much power to regulate who's an extremist and who's not. Let's not give them the go ahead to like pick off more people.
It's like once in a while you start to feel like Trump is the free speech candidate, you know, that he's like a
in
president
many ways,
who,
he's not.
You know, because but then he hits you with something like that fucking video game shit and you're just like, well, what the fuck is wrong with this
and
guy?
The American flag shit.
Yes, like, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know, for anyone who thinks that I'm like I said, some psycho fan, like that's not the fucking truth either.
I mean, the only way that Trump is fun to me is just the fact that he is offensive and says whatever he wants. That's the only thing that I can really like enjoy about him, is the fact that he's sort of like made it a bit more mainstream to be an offensive, rude bore of a person, which I guess I could kind of put myself in that category. But then when he says that thing about the video games, or when he comes after the flag burning and says that that shouldn't be allowed and stuff, you just remember that this guy is just operating on autopilot, and like what he says doesn't really mean that much, because he's kind of willing to just like jump onto whatever argument is going to kind of take the blame off of him. Like in that case, him blaming the video games, it's like, okay, this is very convenient that now you don't have to talk about guns or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a complete scapegoat, and it's an old tactic, and there's been study after study after study that has debunked that video games have any correlation or causation with, like, murder. Like, they used to say the same about books and about, like, Van Halen, and, like, you know, it's an old trick.
How do you feel about guns? You own a gun?
I don't own a gun. I wish I owned a gun. It's California. I don't even know how much work it'll take to own a gun here.
That's not that bad.
Really?
No.
Do you own a gun?
Mm-hmm.
What kind?
Oh, I forget. What was it, 1911?
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
So I bought it. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't carry it with me that much. I'm a little too well-known to be shooting somebody. But I bought it because there's a rap song, 1911 will tear your ass apart. And I was just like, all right, I guess I'll take that one as long as I'm exercising my Second Amendment here. But I have a gun that I don't really plan on carrying around or using or whatever.
Cute. I posted an Instagram picture with an airsoft gun the other day, and everyone freaked out and said that I was like making fun of the shootings that happened. But I posted the day before. So I was like, not the best timing, but I also didn't post it after.
But then it still keeps popping up on their Instagram feed because whenever I look at Instagram, I'm looking at first post of something from 19 hours ago or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't get that.
But I do like shooting guns. My fiance, his parents live in Virginia, and they have like a big house in the middle of nowhere with a huge deck slash balcony thing. And like I shot an AR-15, and like I do like shooting guns.
Yeah. Did you ever think about like taking that up as a hobby? Because that's what I originally wanted to do was like, okay, I'm going to buy a gun and I'm going to start like going to the gun range with my friends. I have friends who do this all the time. They've gotten really proficient with it. They're super comfortable with their guns. I thought I was going to do it. It's been a couple of years. I just haven't gotten into it.
I don't think as a hobby, but like I would like to have it for protection. It's like we live in LA, like shit goes down. And I don't know, when you put yourself out there online, like, again, shit goes down. So, you know, I would like to have one for that reason. But I also have security in my building, so I don't know.
Have you dealt with any serious amount of, like, harassment? Or, like, that seemed as if it was going to turn into real-life violence?
Absolutely. I've been doxxed before, which is when your address is posted online. In the summer of 2017 or 2016, I was doxxed, and people posted my address online. And then all of a sudden, I had this picture. Someone tweeted me, it was outside of my house, like literally tweeting me a picture of the outside of my house. And it wasn't like a Google Street. Like it was clearly like they were like driving by. And then the next picture was like them with a gun and they're like, I'll be back. Like, and I was like, oh fuck. And so, I contacted the FBI and I told my followers that I had been doxxed, and I tweeted the person's username. It got really ugly. They actually doxxed her and then she got swatted. And then I don't know if she got arrested or what, but there was never a peep on, and she never tweeted again, so I don't know.
So you don't know what happened to the person that told you they were going to kill you?
No.
Wow.
No. I also never really looked into it. I don't support anyone doxing on my behalf. That happened one time.
Right.
And definitely don't support swatting, because people can die.
Yeah.
But yeah, she got swatted.
I'm pretty sure that we've been swatted enough times here that they just don't even care anymore.
Been swatted?
Oh yeah, well, like there'll be times where the helicopter is just swirling around up top, and then the store will get a call, and they'll be like,
oh, just because you publicize the address of your store.
Oh obviously. Yeah, everybody knows where we are. So
wow, yeah. That's crazy. Do you ever deal with like psychos coming here? Because I couldn't imagine having my address.
We had a couple different people run up in here with guns and shit. You didn't see that clip that went viral?
Suddenly, I don't feel safe.
No, there was a clip where I was live, and a dude shoved a gun in my face. I'm not even gonna, like, everybody, all my fans know about it, but
why? Just to fuck with you on stream or something?
I don't know. He probably just having a rough day or something. He seemed like just like a loser. He wasn't like some tough guy or like a gangster or some shit. It was just...
You're like a brony with a gun or something.
He was like a little Asian kid. Like, or I don't even know. You know? Yeah. I don't know. He was just like a little fucking loser.
That's fucking scary. Did you genuinely think he was going to fucking kill you?
My friend had a gun, so it's like... that. I was actually really more scared that this dude was about to get killed before he was able to, like... You know, it's like he's coming at me with a gun, and my friend had a gun pointed at him as they're coming in, and then like he was getting the shit kicked out of him before I even had a chance to think about it. He's actually really lucky that my friend didn't shoot him in the head.
Yeah, that could have been fuck. It goes down here. Oh my god, I feel okay. You genuinely kind of scared you when you jumped.
Yeah, it does go down here. You didn't see that we had security out there in front?
I did see the security.
But I never even met him before. That was my first time meeting him.
Yeah. Yeah. Lord.
Okay, so I did want to ask just about, like, you know, one thing, like, you know, when I was younger, looking at politics, it all seems very complicated. And now when I look at people's YouTube videos about politics, I'm like, man, this does not feel very complicated at all. Sometimes it just feels like even people who are, like, pretty well-respected in that sort of world,
they're like stupid.
I just end up in this game of just like reiterating the same bullshit over and over and over. Like it just feels so like there's been times where I've thought about making a video talking about something that's more on the political side of things. And it just sometimes feels like it's such a weird, like people are using the word grift a lot lately.
And it's that like, is my I biggest see a lot pet of that. Peeve.
Not a fan of the grift thing.
It's my pet peeve when, like, people call anyone who disagrees with them a grifter. Because it's like, okay, so it seems very convenient that literally every person you disagree with is, like, faking their positions. Like, why can't you just, like, take at least some people at face value that they really believe that?
Right.
Like, that seems very conceited and, like, very, like, self-involved to think that if you don't agree with me, you must be lying. Like, that's kind of actually a psycho mentality. But grifters are real, though.
Right. I feel like the main issue is more of just people who feel the need to sort of, like, base their YouTube existence on just sort of, like, reiterating the same three ideas over and over and over. And, like, there's a lot of people who I even kind of respect and who I've, like, initially been sort of drawn to. Like, you know, at first I was just, I saw Tim Pool on Joe Rogan's podcast. And totally thought he was like fucking amazing when it came to calling Twitter out for the free speech shit and everything.
Yeah, I like
and then
that.
I started following him on Twitter. I'm like, okay, I fuck with this guy. Then I started watching his YouTube videos and I was just like, bro, you're just talking about the same shit all day, huh? Like, he just is like repeating himself over and over. And I'm just kind of like, this is weird. Like, this feels like a grift to me because it's just, you're not really like adding anything. You're just like finding a way to put out 7 videos a day of just nothingness.
Yeah, YouTube is also a different beast than going on someone's podcast like Joe Rogan or like tweeting or being on Instagram, because it's like on YouTube, it's harder. On YouTube, it's like people really want a certain fucking thing from you. I feel like you're more free to do different stuff on other platforms, if that makes sense. Like on my Instagram, I even get tired of like doing the same stuff, but people like, but when you're literally spammed with like 1,000 comments, like, please talk about this. It's like, okay. It's very similar to what I've already talked about, but I guess I will because you guys all want it.
I mean, think about how weird it would be if you could make the same amount of money from a 25-minute video that you make from a 1.5-minute video, then everybody would be on YouTube making 1.5-minute videos, because the reality is that most of these topics don't need 10 minutes.
Yeah. Like, do you ever find yourself trying to stretch it to 10?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm always trying to stretch it to 10. But you know what sucks?
It's like having sex. Trying to hit that 10-minute mark so that if she fucking tries to call me out, I can be like, well, I gave you 10 minutes. That's a double-digit number. That's actually pretty good.
You know what sucks, though, is I did a live debate yesterday.
I watched this, and God, what a hellhole that was.
But can I tell you? Okay.
She got arrested. I know.
Yeah.
I know everything.
We're going to get into the details about that freak, but, like, I have to,
yeah, let's
like,
talk about her a little bit first.
But briefly, I have to just talk about YouTube and, like, just what you said about, like, the minutes and money and all that. It's like, okay, so that video has, like, over 600K in 24 hours, which is very good for my channel. It had stellar watch time. People, like, it had 40K people watching the entire time for an hour. That is, like, I should be making an insane amount of money. Guess how much money I made on that show?
I'm guessing approximately zero.
I made $5.
Yeah.
I brought in 600,000 people in a day, and I had $5
and
to show for
this
it.
This is also why you should not have done it live and why nobody does YouTube live anymore unless they have a really good reason, because you're always going to get age-restricted while you're doing it, and then you're always going to have to request for fucking monetization afterwards, so you're always going to miss the vast majority of the ads that you ever have ability to
but
run.
But you know what's a fucking scam? The fact that, like, it went yellow, like, 20 minutes after the live ended. So there was ads running for those 40,000 people tuned in live for an hour. So what? I just made all these brands money and got their clicks and I don't get any of the money?
But I don't think they're running many ads on live streams, are they?
I think they are.
Really?
When I watch long live streams, like, I feel like every 10 minutes it'll show a fucking ad.
I've had, like, live streams where... do they? Because I have YouTube Red, so I feel like I don't even experience it the way other people do. But
yeah, I have YouTube Red too.
Yeah, I feel like when I am on... Like, I've done live streams that have done, like, ridiculously well. Like, as soon as it was published, like, after doing the live stream, that I had, like, a couple hundred thousand views. And then I looked at how much it made from AdSense during it, and it was always trash. Even in, this is, like, pre-everything getting demonetized immediately, which I'm sure you're in the same category that you have to request on, like, everything you do.
Surprisingly, no.
Really?
I think it's because I'm trans.
Wow.
I think YouTube favors me because I'm trans. I really think that, like, honestly, other than this one yesterday... I don't think I've had a yellow video in, like, 6 months.
And that would make sense because I am being punished because I am cis.
That makes sense.
That makes way too much sense.
Yeah, but on to the Jessica Yaniv.
Jessica.
Situation.
God, what a voluptuous woman
that big
she
bitch.
Is. Wow. So tell me how you came to be aware of this person.
Basically, I woke up one day and my entire feed was all these fucking conservative and far-right people talking about, this is what the trans agenda is. This is a pedophile, by the way, for anyone who doesn't know. This is the trans agenda. This is what all trans people are co-signing for, all this stuff. And I was like, oh, hell no. I was like, I don't know what everyone else is doing, but I'm not going to let that be the narrative. Mm. So I made a video, and it went crazy. And then that person started tweeting about how they're going to destroy me in a debate. So I was like, okay, come on. So that's how those two videos came to be.
And she, as much as like, if you were to watch her on camera for 35 seconds, you'd be like, oh, this is a crazy person. This is like,
this is a crazy person.
This is not a serious person that we should be really considering the opinion of. But the reality is that she's been able to do a lot of damage to a lot of businesses before, you know, like got a lot of people banned off Twitter, basically just like caused a lot of destruction and shit, like before people even really realized who she was, right?
Absolutely. So this person is a trans woman, has a dick, and has
going around to different salons and basically, you know, salons where I'm sure they wax vaginas all day, legs, armpits, whatever, walking into the salons and saying, I want to get my genitals waxed.
Dick and balls.
And we all know that almost every fucking salon on earth is run by a bunch of Asian people who probably are not super woke and don't know about the fact that
those
like
little Asian whatever. Hands. Oh my God.
These poor fucking women. And she, so Jessica is going in and saying, I want to get my genitals waxed. And then it's a dick. And like, she finds somebody who's like, No, I'm not going to do that. And then fucking boom.
And then sues them and then put one of them completely out of business and is proud of it, gloats about it. Gets people banned off Twitter for using the wrong pronouns, etc. And if there's one person in the world who doesn't really deserve like their pronouns respected, it's like this person.
Right.
But I feel like I kind of was one of the only people that really could take this person to task just because I am trans. And
because
like,
nobody on the left is going to do it. And then like, yeah, Ben Shapiro is going to make fun of her, but everybody on the left is already looking at Ben Shapiro like he's a transphobe, whatever. So it is kind of in a weird way. You're sort of uniquely positioned to have an opinion on this, huh?
Everyone can have their opinion, but I think that it speaks volumes that the most viewed video on the internet of this person is a trans person bashing the fuck out of them. Because I feel like that needed to happen because I understand people's perspective. Because when I came out with the video, I said like, why isn't the trans community condemning this? And like, I understand people's perspective as far as like, why do I have to like apologize for like a bad apple of trans, whatever.
Right.
But the world isn't fair. And if we don't speak out and if we don't make it clear that pedophilia is not welcome in the trans community, that hands the narrative over to only far right people who are going to paint us with a pedophile brush. And I don't want to like be in a world where people think that I'm a fucking pedo because I'm trans. That's disgusting. Mm. So, you know.
Yeah, so that's kind of, yeah, it puts you in an interesting perspective. Yeah, because I've seen people responding to you on Twitter saying, like, you know, it's not the job of every trans person
people
to apologize.
People as an anti-Fantano.
I did see that he said this, yeah.
God, he's such a fucking moron.
I just thought it was funny that he was responding to you. I just didn't know that.
He's just turned into a complete, like, reply guy on Twitter. Like, that's just what he is now.
He do be replying, yeah.
He'd be replying.
But the argument basically was that you, like, that a trans person, that all trans people shouldn't feel as if it's their job to respond when somebody of their, you know, same grouping does something offensive. But
how do you
view that? You definitely make it your business to get all up in there and to try to call them out. But I respect it because it's like, I think you're right. That to a certain extent, people are going to paint everybody of your ilk with this brush, you know?
I like that word, ilk.
Ilk.
For me, it was more so like not like, I'm not expecting like Susie who works at Walmart and happens to be trans to speak out about it. Okay, I don't expect that. But it's more like, okay, the activists who have platforms of hundreds of thousands or millions of followers online, and the activists who, like, basically set in motion these laws that enable this predator to, like, abuse them, they should probably say something. Mm. They should probably make a clear difference that, like, we are not that. That is not us. Mm. That's my thing. It was just, like, those of us that are public. And I think there's been one other that has, which is Kat Black. Mm. She's such a dumb bitch. Oh, my God. She's just really just a dumb bitch.
Was she defended Jessica?
She didn't defend Jessica, but her entire video is making her the victim. Like, why do I have to answer for this? And it's like, it's not about you answering for this. It's like, can we just be an example to people who don't get it that we're not fucking pedos? It's like, not that. It sucks we have to do it, but just, like, do it. If you're a trans activist, do it.
Mm.
But she's...
Like, yeah, I guess I get that, too. It's like, if your whole thing on Twitter is that you're a really outspoken activist about trans issues, but you only have anything to say when it's somebody who's, you know, right-leaning...
Yeah,
doing something offensive or whatever, and you don't have anything to say. Yeah, I mean, you do see a lot of that from fucking everybody because obviously anything like negative about the trans community or whatever is going to be weaponized by the right, no matter what. So it's kind of like, why even feed into it if you're on the left? I guess is their way of thinking about it.
It is, but you know what? I guess maybe I'm just like an optimist, but I actually feel like a lot of people can be converted from like their like ignorant views, because I was just like, when I did my videos with Jessica and Eve, and even to this second, if I look on my phone, I know I'm still getting them, just inundated with tweets and comments and emails and messages from people being like, I've never seen a trans person like you before. I've never seen anyone be like opposite of this like extreme sort of like far left pedophilia, really. And I'm rethinking my views of trans people now.
The topless pool party was the part that really disturbed me. And the fact that when you called her out for it, that it just seemed like she was so full of shit in her way of explaining it. She's like, well, the law says that an underage girl can be at a pool without having a shirt or whatever. It's like, okay, like that doesn't make it any less weird if the law says it's okay.
That's what's sick, right? Is that like Jessica's only real argument in that debate was like, well, the law in Canada, the law. And it's like, we get it. Like, the laws are fucking shitty and you're abusing them to hurt people. Like, we get it. Like,
you really get the idea that she's probably done some sick shit in her life that we just don't know about.
I'll say this.
You probably know more than the public knows, huh?
I don't know any concrete evidence of like physical contact with a little girl or anything, but I do know that there have been young girls, like we're talking 12 years old, 13 years old, tweeting as far back as 2011. Everyone, please block Jessica Yaniv, Jonathan Yaniv at the time, on Twitter. He's asking me weird questions. There's tweets like almost a decade back. So I don't know. We can either think that in a decade it's been only online, or that this person's really touched someone. And I will say, in the video that I did, I asked him, I hate the pronoun shit. I asked Jessica, have you ever touched a little girl? And he smirked and he said no. Like, he smirked. Who the fuck smirks to a question like that? Ugh. Yeah. So, fuck pedophiles, and fuck pedophiles that try to use the LGBT as a shield and try to wiggle their way in.
Yeah. Where is she located that she's even doing all this stuff?
Canada.
Oh, yeah, right. Because Canada has all these weird laws.
Here's the difference between Canada and the U.S. So, in Canada...
We got to hear Jordan Peterson on her, on Jessica.
Yeah, I don't think Jordan Peterson said anything.
I don't know if Jordan Peterson is, like... Again, like non-serious enough to like, I don't know if you'd want to like jump into that cesspool.
Yeah,
I
think, you
know,
it's a cesspool.
You're kind of like valuable in that sense because you're like, all right, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going.
I'm just going in.
Let's go.
But yeah, the difference between Canada and the US is that in Canada, as Jessica said in the video, is that you can literally just walk into the DMV looking completely like a man and be like, I'm a woman, put an F on my ID. Whereas in the US, and I can speak from experience, you have to go to a doctor, you have to get sign-offs, you have to go to court, you have to do a lot of stuff. And so there's like a bar of entry. And so that's what leads to Jessica being able to go in the fucking bathroom and like diddle girls.
Right.
Because he can just say, I'm a woman.
That's scary.
It's scary.
Do you come from the perspective that you feel like you're, and I know that like you probably don't want to put yourself out there as this like high and mighty version of what it is to be trans, but do you feel like it's weird seeing the whole, your whole like culture or community sort of like infiltrated by people who just kind of like are activists and aren't planning on having surgery or anything?
It's odd to me. I'll say that. It's odd the amount of people that are latching on in the community that I can't relate to in any sort of way. That's what's strange. Because most, like, I mean, we live in LA. There's trans women everywhere. Like, drive anywhere, there's trans women walking around. Like, what? And, like, I relate to a lot of actual transsexual women that I meet, right? I don't relate to the Jessica Keenings of the world. I don't relate to the genderqueer people of the world. I don't relate to the people who think that being trans is having a septum piercing. Like, I don't relate to that. So I think there's a lot of people that latch on because they want to feel special. But
do you think that when, because like you, like one thing that is oftentimes like projected upon like the rap community and stuff, I'll have conversations with people.
Which I know nothing about, by the way.
Which is totally fine. But I will have conversations with people where I sort of realize that people who spend a lot of time on Twitter are of the opinion that everybody in the rap world is super woke. And I'm like, no, no, no. Like,
oh, no, that's not true.
No, totally
actually,
not.
Actually, I know nothing about that world, but I know that's not true.
Yeah, in reality, I think that...
You know how many rappers fuck trannies in LA?
Do you think?
All of them. Do I think? I know.
All of them.
Well, okay, that's
exaggerated. I didn't know that.
I have stories on stories on stories.
I would love to listen.
And now you want stories on stories on stories on stories.
Nah, no, I wouldn't want to call them out because it's like, if they want to live their life in private doing whatever, go ahead. I'm not going to call them out.
I won't say names, but I will say this. There's a lot of, and we're not talking like...
It's like you just told me wrestling's fake.
No, there's a lot of rappers, and we're not talking SoundCloud rappers. We're talking like A-list and B-list and C-list rappers who... like their favorite thing in the world is the trans women that live in LA. And like, unfortunately, a lot of them actually, the beef I have is when trans women are treated really badly because they're kept a secret. And like, this guy has like a wife and that is always an issue. But there's so many stories I know. Like, I know a lot of people who are escorts and have fucked every rapper you could ever think of. Yeah, a lot of that.
Damn, that's interesting. Have you always had a, like, in terms of your personal life and stuff, have you always been somewhat traditional, or have you done like a lot of weird escorting type stuff or anything like
no,
that?
I've never escorted.
Yeah.
No, I've considered it when I was younger, and I, you know, there is a certain, it's sad, but there is a certain path for trans women, or for a lot of them, or what we perceive to be the path, which is like, we're never going to get hired at real jobs, we're never going to have real work, so we have to hook, or we have to escort, or we have to suck dick for money. And it's like, that was a thing that I fell into for a moment when I was younger. I didn't actually end up doing it, but I went as far as ending up in a fucking hotel room with like a 50-year-old man.
Really?
Yeah, and I ended up not being able to do anything with him, and I left. I didn't even, wasn't even able to get undressed.
Paralyzed with social anxiety?
It wasn't social anxiety. It was the anxiety of like, am I really deciding to have sex for money?
Mm.
And I was 18 or 19. And I didn't even get as far as taking my clothes off, and I had him take me home.
You couldn't do it.
No, which is dangerous. You don't ever want to end up in a hotel room with a man who's expecting you to fuck him, and then you say, never mind, take me home.
Honestly, I know a lot of girls who have either fucked for money once or have almost done it. And like, they come really close, and then they realize that like, it's kind of weird, and they get freaked out.
It's common, and like, I don't judge sex workers or people who do sexual things for money. I really don't, but that's just not a path that I wanted to go down.
Right.
And it took me actually getting in the room to realize that, which
is
crazy.
What is it about like the young trans person's experience in life that like sends them in that direction so often? Is it just the fact that there are so many dudes who that this is their fetish?
Yes, that's for sure. It's also like a lot of, I'm very lucky in that I have for the most part really strong familial acceptance. So my family is cool. I have a fiance, I'm self-sufficient. Mm. I pay my own bills. I pay for my apartment. Like that, all of that is good. But there are a lot of people who don't have any family support, don't have any money, don't have anything going on. And it's like, what else are you going to do? And there's also the interesting dichotomy of like, a lot of the times we live in a world where like people like to pretend as if trans women are so unwanted. But any trans woman, regardless of how they look, will tell you there is a fucking line around the block of men who want to fuck you. They want to keep it a secret. That's for sure. But
that can't really feel like real love or really being wanted just to be somebody's fetish, right?
No, it's not. It's definitely not. But there is something interesting to say about a world that maybe treats you like you're not wanted, but then having people behind closed doors wanting you.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like for a lot of them, it's probably validating to have all these men that want them when they live in a world where they can't even get a job at McDonald's, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So how long have you been with your fiance?
For a little over 2 years.
Elephant in the room, he is in the room. Two years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so how's that going?
It's good, we're engaged, clearly fiance. We haven't started planning the wedding yet. We're a little slow on that, but I believe in long engagements. I believe in season for everything. Enjoy being boyfriend, girlfriend, enjoy being fiancés, enjoy being husband and wife. Yeah, it's good.
What kind of guy does it take to date you? Like, what are the required personality traits?
You have to be very confident, because I'm very confident and insecurity is the most unattractive quality to me. You have to understand that my life is fucking weird. I do YouTube for a living. You can't be jealous of that in any way, which is strange because in my last relationship, like I said earlier, when I went to do Shane Dawson's podcast, that was like my like big break or whatever. And like, he was resentful to me that I had done that, because he's like, why do you think you're so special that you're flying to LA to do this with this person? And
oh my God, that's such a toxic thing to say to
somebody. Yeah, so he didn't say it verbatim, but that was his attitude.
Yeah.
So he didn't have much going on in his life, so he was jealous of what I had going on. I don't know, you just have to accept that I'm fucking weird. My life is weird, it's unconventional. You have to be open. I'm not the kind of person you can hide dating with, because clearly I'm a public person, not down to be anyone's secret.
Is there like a code in the trans community that you're not allowed to call out the dudes that are secretly into it? Because I feel like you don't hear that much about it, but every now and then it flares up. Young Buck has been getting it from 50 Cent for a few months now on social media.
I don't know who Young Buck is.
Young Buck is like a former member of G-Unit, and I allegedly is into trans women or something. And man, 50 Cent is just constantly hammering on this point and just trying to like tell the world about it, and it is kind of weird for me as somebody who listened to a lot of them as a kid.
Well, there's also people like Tyga, who like every other month or some tranny saying, every tranny I know is fucked out of it.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's pretty out in the open that he's down with that?
To anyone who wants to know and doesn't want to pretend like it's not a thing, it's clearly a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess you're right when I think about it. I've heard that a lot, but I also just, you know, I just turn the other cheek when it comes to rappers and their weird fetishes and everything. I'm just like, you know what? I'm just, if somebody tells me, you know, I heard that about, who's the guy who plays Michael on The Office? Scott, no, what's his name? Fuck. I forget. Steve Carell.
Yeah.
I heard that about him one time. That if,
really?
No. I heard that if you start talking shit about somebody in front of him, that his response will just be like, wow, huh, interesting. Like, he'll never get in on the shit talk. And I thought that was really interesting. And I definitely can't extend that to myself in all regards, but in terms of, like, people's, like, sexual hangups, whatever weird they're into, it's just kind of like, you know what? Okay. Like, you want to tell me about it? Fine. But I'm not going to repeat it. I'm not going to, like, get into spreading that around or whatever, because it's just kind of, it just feels sort of like off limits.
I guess what's just more comfortable for, like, trans people to talk about it is that, like, it's just, like, a different perspective. It's, like, to what other people might see as, like, a weird fetish or something bad to talk about. It's, like, it's, like, why is it bad to talk about someone wanting to fuck me or fucking me? You know what I mean?
You resent that there's a stigma around it in the first place, yeah.
Yeah. I just think it's weird, just because I know that, like, Tyga in particular has, like, treated a lot of trans women very badly after fucking. Like, it's just, it's gross to me.
So, like, is the dynamic that, like, they do it, but then afterwards they're kind of just like, you know, because a lot of dudes might, like, hook up with some random girl and then they're, like, not a big fan of her afterwards anyway, so they're just kind of like, oh, get out of here. But with the trans thing is like they're kind of like in denial, but the fact that they just wanted to do that anyway, so they're just, it'll be like really rude to them and shit.
Yeah, and there's even like worse stuff I know about, like Tyga in particular.
But really? But like, yeah. Beating on them and shit.
Like illegal shit.
Interesting. There's a lot of illegal things.
But we don't have to expose.
Littering?
Huh?
He'd like take them out and like throw some garbage out on the street or something. No, there's a lot of things that are illegal. You got to help me out here.
We'll say littering because, okay, I don't want to end up on like a World Star Hip Hop or something.
So excellent. When they were littering. Oh man, I don't know. But damn, that's interesting. Yeah. So do you do any kind of drugs or anything?
No, I've never done any drug. I've smoked weed, but that's like not.
You didn't like it?
I'm not the hugest fan of smoking weed. It just makes me sleepy. It either makes me like laugh hysterically and look stupid or go to sleep.
It just makes me feel retarded, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've never done coke. I'm probably the only person and only trans person in LA to not do coke.
Is that a thing that everybody who's trans does coke? Makes sense to me.
I feel like every trans person I've met does coke.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. One time I went on a Tinder date with this girl and she was a flight attendant and she was like living in this house that was like temporary housing for all these other flight attendants. So it was all gay men and holy shit, these dudes' drug stories.
Oh, gay men.
I had never heard anything like these stories about drugs and sex that these motherfuckers were telling me.
Gay men do all kinds of fucking drugs, period. Oh, yeah. It's
and
it's
they wild. Fuck.
They fuck everyone.
They fuck. Like, I was hearing stories about dudes just talking about, like, fucking at a level that there's no way that any heterosexual guy is fucking at that level, besides maybe somebody like, you know, like a Dan Bilzerian, but even with him, it's in, like, a controlled environment.
Like, we're talking fisting.
Just running around the streets, hitting these one-hour motels and just putting in work.
Or just doing it in the street.
Wow.
I think that's legal in San Francisco.
That you can just fuck a guy in the street.
Only gay sex is legal in San.
That's actually pretty sick. No, downtown LA though, honestly, one time is the only time I've ever seen a public threesome going down.
On the street?
Yeah, there's three crackheads and one of them was getting head and the other one was hitting him from behind. And I was
they're all guys?
I believe the middle person was a woman.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. There was two chicks making out in the Starbucks line like 5 minutes ago before I got here.
Right here? Mm-hmm. Two chicks making out in line. Wow. Maybe they just wanted some attention. I don't know. Or maybe they're just in love.
Yeah, because they were both looking around while they were doing it.
Were they?
Yeah, they were making out, but they were like looking around to see who's looking. It's like you want people to notice.
I don't know. Melrose is like that in general. Like people just come here to just make a scene. I can't even tell you how many times I've seen rappers just walking around with no shirt on, just a chain on the street. And I'm just like, that is such a weird look. Like,
that's corny.
This is not your show. Like, what are you doing?
That's corny.
Yeah.
A lot of people in LA in general, it's like the currency is attention. Mm. You know what I mean?
That's a fact.
Yeah, that's what people live here for.
And especially as a YouTuber. I mean, literally, yeah. Attention is your currency.
That's literally what keeps you housed. literally keep the roof over your head, which is like, but it's toxic though. Like, I hate it. Like, I really try very hard not to look at numbers. I will literally, sometimes I'll upload a video and I literally won't look for like 2 months at how it went. Because
Two months?
Yeah, because
could've been me.
Or I literally won't ever check. Just like, because to me, it's like, I check my analytics to see my money, make sure my money's okay. And, you know, I care about people's feedback, but to me, it just makes me sick in my head thinking about it.
Do you think, like, because you don't post that much. Like, what's your mentality on making YouTube videos, and like how much inspiration do you feel like you're taking before you actually do the step of sitting down in front of the camera?
I've been feeling really creative lately, so I've been uploading more lately. But before that, like, yeah, I would do like maybe like every 2 weeks, just because I have to feel really inspired, because I don't want to fall in the trap of like what you said was like just shitting out stuff, because, you know, I don't like that trap either.
Right.
Like, recently I've been feeling really positive about YouTube, just because I'm just like on a pretty big growth spurt right now, and like I'm making different kinds of content and I just feel good about it. But like, sometimes when you're in that rut of like, you know, your next video has to be something you've already fucking talked about.
Yeah.
It gets annoying.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know what's going to work. Like,
and what isn't.
Your audience wants to be scared. They want, like, that's going to get them to click. If it's something that makes them feel like, oh no, it's like the end of the world. Yeah. They want like these sort of familiar villains, you know, like they want it to be, you know, AOC or Pelosi or whatever. Like, they want, like, have you ever used the AOC clickbait yet? I don't think you have. That would probably be really good. See, there you go.
But it would. But I also, I mean, listen, I don't like AOC. I disagree with her fundamentally on almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't really feel like making a cheap AOC sucks video. It's like AOC sucks. We all know.
I mean, you know, you want to have like a unique or interesting point to make. That's, I struggle with that too, with like in the whole rap thing, because it's like, if I'm going to talk about something for like 10 minutes, it's got to be like, sort of like have some weight about it. Like, even if it is something stupid, it's got to have something like interesting that I can talk about, like the root of it or something, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. For me, I'm feeling pretty good about where I'm at right now, just because I do feel like the whole Jessica Yaniv thing I just did was like much needed. And like, so I'm like, I'm pretty proud of what I've done in the past like week or so with all of that. But I also like, it's interesting because despite like me loving the videos I've done recently, I only uploaded yesterday and I woke up today like, what's my next one? Like, I'm stressed out. Like, what's my next one? And it's like, it sucks that I can't ever just like breathe.
But, yeah. You know, it's always hard to get on that. You're only as good as your last piece of content on YouTube, for sure. Like, you know, that old saying, like, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
That's YouTube every day. It's like, okay.
It's just a never ending mouth that wants to be fed, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday you had a hit. What you
What's
got today?
What's today? Exactly. I think the only person who can upload once a year and still be just on top of everyone and can kill everyone is Shane Dawson.
Yeah, what is that?
Just that he's so lovable. And like, I'll say this, like, I've met a lot of, I'm sure you have as well, obviously. You interviewed a million people and you know a lot of people, but like, there's a lot of people who are like nothing like their YouTube videos, right? Like, there's their personality, and like, they can be the most loved person on YouTube, and in real life you're like, what a shitty fucking person. Like, what an actually bad person. Shane is the exact same person, and all those lovable qualities that makes him able to upload once a year and get like 20 million hits.
Yeah.
He has those qualities in real life too.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy too is that, because I just interviewed Trisha Paytas, God bless her soul. And so I was watching something like old ass Shane Dawson video with her. And I was kind of thinking the same thing when I was watching his old, or the video he did where he, where it was like, it was on your channel, the video that you guys did together, where I feel like a year or two ago that Shane was way less comfortable than he is now. Like, now when I see him uncomfortable, he seems like his real self. Whereas like before, watching some of his older shit, I'm like, holy shit, this is such a different version of Shane, even a couple years ago, where it felt like he was sort of like forcing like a level of excitement and shit, that I feel like now he's like sort of like settled into more just being like his more low-key self, and that his videos are actually better as a result.
I see that too. I think he kind of found out like what his niece is. He's like the uncle of YouTube. He's like, you go to him to feel good. You go to him to see him like help someone. Like, and I even like, before he started making that content, whenever I would hang out with him, I would call him like my therapist, because like, we would go to dinner or whatever, and then like, I'd be talking about my life for an hour, and then I'd look up and be like, so how are you? You just be helping me for an hour.
Right.
And it's not even like, yeah, he's just that person.
It's weird for me to think about what it must be like to be that caring about people, because he's like, if I were him, I would be putting all my effort into making more and more videos. And he seems like he's sort of like recoiled from all of it and realized that, I don't know. I mean, but I also don't know what he's doing most of the time. Like, if he actually is as motivated as I was imagined that he would probably be.
I know that he's filming like a really, really long thing with Jeffree Star right now. He does work really hard in those videos. Like, he's kind of in the mode of like, just for, in my opinion, it seems like he's kind of like the same way that like, what's that show? That's a really popular show on Netflix. Oh my God, what's that show? Black Mirror. Black Mirror. Like that comes out like once a year, but it's really fucking bomb when it comes out. That's like the kind of content Shane does. It's like documentary style. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, see, I've always had the opposite outlook in the sense that I'm interested in such a wide variety of things that it's like, you know, a lot of people like make YouTube videos and they'll get like a couple million views on every video, but it's like they don't put a video out unless they have the clickbait that they know will get them to that level of views that they're trying to get to, you know? Whereas with me, it's like, I know I'm doing a rap podcast, but I interviewed Trisha the other day. I'm interviewing you right now. I know that a lot of my audience is not going to watch either interview. That's like totally outside the box. There's going to be comments like, who the fuck is this? You know, it's like, but that's always been just kind of like, I have such a wide variety of niche interests that it's like, I can't imagine only making content that would be sort of like mass appeal to my audience, you know?
Yeah. That's why like I'm thankful that like in the beginning of me doing YouTube, it was very much hardline politics. And then I started realizing that people wanted to know more about like who I am and like my real life. So I started doing more like lifestyle content and like content with my fiance and stuff like that. And like that also did really well. So I'm really lucky. There's a lot of political channels that like if they do anything but something political, it'll get like a tenth of the views. Whereas I can like if I'm tired of politics and I don't want to do it for 2 weeks, then I can upload other stuff like a video with Shane Dawson, which no one even it's Shane Dawson clearly, but like none of my fans really, you know, so. Yeah. I like dipping into other stuff.
There's a lot to be said for being just very scarce on YouTube. But, I mean, you know, so many people just get into that mind state of trying to be the super popular YouTube that uploads every day. And then Shane is just like an example of going in the total opposite direction and be like, I already know I have your attention, so I'm only going to hit you guys with the real fire content.
And there's something to be said about anticipation, like making people wait a little bit. I think people like that, too.
Like if Shane, like he just did that one about Eugenia Cooney or whatever, the anorexic girl. I watched that. And to be honest, if you put out one like that about a different YouTuber every week, which even once a week is like not that intense of a schedule for like what a lot of YouTubers are doing. But if he did that every week, I'd be a lot less enticed to watch. But because there were months since his last video.
Yeah, it feels more special.
Yeah, it's kind of like, all right, I'll learn about this fucking random ass girl with an eating disorder that I don't know anything about. For some reason, I'm sitting here, I'm a grown ass man watching this. That's very much how I felt.
Yeah, I like the videos where I'm like, why the fuck am I watching this? And why do I like it? I like those ones. Did you see all the drama with Eugenia Cooney and
Jacqueline? Yeah. I did.
I was in like a weird spot because Jacqueline's one of my really good friends, and so is Shane.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I'm gonna step away. Really?
It was like a mess. Yeah.
Oh, so she was pissed at Shane for like misrepresenting it as if the girl was in a good mental state when, in her opinion, the mom is sort of like controlling this whole thing.
Which I agree because this hasn't actually been posted on YouTube, but a few days after the intervention that Jacqueline held for Eugenia, which in my opinion saved her life. Jacqueline was in the, we were going shopping at the Grove and Jacqueline played me like recordings of when the mom was calling Jacqueline during the intervention, screaming at her, calling her a lesbian C word, which she's not a lesbian. She has a boyfriend.
Right.
Like telling her who would do this to their friend, which is so crazy because who wouldn't do that for their friend? So the mom is definitely the problem. That's not really known, but I don't think that Shane manipulated anyone or I just feel like Shane was probably like a little manipulated, honestly. He probably was not shown the whole truth because that family doesn't want the whole truth to be shown. I have a theory, and I don't know, that Eugenia, because she is walking, talking clickbait, she probably like supports the mom. And it probably feeds the mom's like willingness to leave her in this state of like extreme anorexia.
Right.
That's my personal opinion.
Wow, that is so fucking crazy.
Yeah. And the brother's fat.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is weird.
It's like she's hella anorexic and the brother's fat. Like, in what world?
I'm gonna be honest. I turned that video Shane did off with her after like the first 20 minutes because I was just kind of grossed out looking at her, to be honest. Like, this just kind of churned my stomach. I'm just like, ugh, like she's so. And also, my girlfriend has dealt with the whole eating disorder thing, so I could feel that it was kind of triggering her.
Oh my God. So that's a whole other thing. I feel like I've like low key developed like an eating disorder since moving here.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like
everybody's so hot.
Yeah. And also like when I started moving to LA, I started doing interviews that are more of like full body and filmed at crazy angles. And it was different than just like me, like talking to my webcam, which was the first part of my YouTube journey. And I started seeing, I was like, oh, I should probably like lose a little there, lose a little there. And then it just like kept going. And then like, I feel like low key, I think about it too much.
Mm. I always thought that being well known or famous, quote unquote, would really motivate me to get in better shape.
But
didn't really take. I was kind of counting on that my whole life.
I think it's more of a girl thing too. I think it's more. Yeah. Thing.
No, I remember like, because I was up to like 280. I'm probably like 230 right now, but this is like 10, 15 years ago. I was like 280. And I remember like how I felt about myself at that time in my life. And it really was like, holy shit. Like, I need to lose weight because I am starting to look fucking disgusting. Like, I was so unhappy with how I looked. And now it's like, yeah, I'm not like 100% stoked on how I look, but I'm not like super upset about it. So it's just, it's kind of hard to like summon up that. Real, like if you really want to get in shape, you kind of have to have that fucking intense work ethic to just get that extra workout in, say no to that brownie, even though it's just one brownie.
Because I don't have the work ethic to work out all the time, I just do intermittent fasting.
That works out for you?
Yeah, I eat like every other day, basically.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I've thought about doing that.
I go in and out though. Like some weeks I'm like, I literally do it every other day. And other weeks I'm like, okay, I do
every other day. And then what, you have just one feast in the middle of the day?
I'll go to Whole Foods and I'll get like literally pizza, cupcakes, like I'll literally eat anything I want.
That does not sound like intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting is just not eating for a long period of time, basically like extended like nighttime.
No, yeah. I
every other day sounds kind of crazy.
Say I won't eat on a Monday and then on a Tuesday I'll eat whatever the fuck I want. I try to eat healthier, like I'll maybe get a salad, but like I'll eat like pizza, cupcakes, whatever. And then Wednesday I won't eat, Thursday go ham, Friday I don't eat.
I don't think if there's any doctors watching, I don't think that they would really approve of this.
It's not that I promote that, but that is currently my lifestyle.
Mm. So what, you're just not hungry the next day?
Surprisingly, not really. Like when you fast, like you actually lose hunger after a while.
Right.
Like right now, I'm not like not hungry.
The other day, me and my girlfriend went on a 2-hour hike, and afterwards, the next two meals we ordered after that, I ordered two entrees at each meal and ate both of them.
Oh, really?
Because I just like, you know, if I get a really good workout in, it just makes my body just be like exploded with like, no, feed me more.
Where'd you hike Runyon?
Some random spot in Santa Monica. It was amazing, though. I really want to go back.
Oh, maybe I should try it. I do Runyon all the time.
Yeah, Runyon is a little too much of a mall.
Yeah, there's a lot of fucking people.
There's so many people. It's so weird, right?
And there's a lot of weird people. Like one time I was walking my dog with my fiance and there's just this like meathead. Like this just like totally like roided out guy. And he's like comes running from behind me and I'm all the way on the side of the road. Right. So there's all this space he could run, but he ran like straight up behind me and then jumped over my little 2-pound dog. Didn't hit the dog or anything, but jumped over and then turned around. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, watch your fucking dog, telling him like control your bitch and all this shit. And I was like, you had that whole road, you crazy motherfucker. Like
control your bitch.
Yeah. I was like this. Oh my God. I had like a taser and I was really ready to go in because I don't want him fighting.
It's saying like, control your bitch is actually kind of like a gangster thing to do if somebody's girl really is wilding the fuck out. Like if someone's girl.
I wasn't even wilding.
Yeah, I know.
I was trying to like de-escalate. My fighting days are over.
I've heard dudes say that and it actually sounded cool because it was a situation where like the girl really was like being super extra and it's kind of like, bro, like this situation's not gonna fucking stop unless you control this girl.
Control your bitch.
But I like the idea that you walking your dog was enough to set off his alarms.
It was my little pink Pomeranian, and he just got so fucking pissed. Wow. I couldn't even deal with it.
That's brutal.
No, I couldn't believe it.
Who do you imagine you're scrolling through your subscription tab right now? Who are you likely to actually click on to hear them talk about politics?
Oh, specifically politics? I don't watch a ton of political YouTube, if I'm honest.
Hmm.
I actually don't even watch a ton of YouTube. I watch my friends really only, which is weird. I mean, no shade. I watch some of your interviews too. Like, I don't watch the rap ones because it's like that's my world. But like, I do watch you. I watch Trisha Paytas. I watch Jane once a year. Jacqueline Glenn. I like Shoe on Head.
She's good.
Yeah, I love her. I'm gonna see her in a few weeks. We're doing a speaking event together. Who else do I like? You like Trisha? Sorry, I said Trisha.
He goes, you like Trisha.
Yeah. I want to do a mukbang with her.
Oh, yeah. We're supposed to do one, too. My girl said she's going to cook, and then we're going to go do it.
Oh, really?
But I just want to hear myself eat. That mic she has, it just picks up everything.
No, but I hate that. I don't like ASMR shit.
Yeah, it freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, I hate the sound of someone eating.
Yeah.
I literally had a boyfriend I broke up with, and 90% of the reason why was because of the way he ate.
Really? It was loud?
It was loud. It was wet. It was just awful. I couldn't even deal with it.
People accuse me of that a lot. They said that I'm a loud eater.
Yeah, we shouldn't eat together. I couldn't deal with it.
Dude, I was watching Trisha just devour a plate of fettuccine Alfredo the other day. And it's like, you know, there's some things that I know I'm immediately annoyed by. Like if somebody comes into the room and they have their fucking phone, the ringtone thing on super loud. So every time they get a text, it's bam. Like, I know that annoys the shit out of me, so I can identify it right away, and I'll just tell somebody, like, yo, can you turn that off? I didn't know that I was going to be so annoyed by Trisha eating that fettuccine Alfredo, but after it had been on for, like, 5-6 minutes, I just, like, turned to my girl, and I was like, you know what? That is really fucking driving me crazy. Yeah, like, I'm really starting to get upset from listening to her eat.
Yeah, I don't like the ASMR. Did you have a threesome with her?
No, it was a troll. I should have kept the troll going, though.
It seemed kind of real. You know what's interesting is, like, I get a ton of threesome offers from just like regular straight couple, usually married, because they have like this conflict, right? Where like the wife doesn't want like a biological female because she doesn't want the husband to get too involved with that. And then the husband doesn't want a man. So they see someone like me as like the in between.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's really weird. I get it more often than I'm comfortable with.
Wow. Yeah. That's so interesting. Yeah, see, me and my girl, it's kind of weird because I feel like we normally only end up hooking up with porn stars because we're not in that, like, swing category necessarily, because, you know, a lot of times that's who's, like, trying to do it is, like, another girl and her boyfriend. We only end up doing it when it's just some wild child-ass girl who just wants to get crazy, you know?
And only with females?
Yeah, as of yet, for sure.
Yeah. Actually, it probably is technically safer with porn stars too because they get tested.
That's what I'm saying. And because regular girls are so goddamn weird and they just end up fucking, like, one time a girl, like, the next day hit us up, like, trying to get us to remove every trace of her from our social media because she fucking, you know, like, people saw it on Facebook and then all of a sudden everybody's, like, trashing her, calling her a whore and shit.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, remembering, like, oh, because we did this on tour or whatever. We're traveling. It's not Hollywood. It's, like, people are fucking stupid in, like, other parts of the world.
Yeah.
And so she's getting trashed on Facebook. Like, you fucking whore. You hooked up with them, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, fuck.
And, like, she's just begging us to delete it. And I'm just like, what did we get ourselves into by not hooking? Like, we hooked up with a girl that wasn't a professional and look where it got us.
You can't fuck a bitch from Arkansas.
What?
You can't fuck a bitch from Arkansas.
Oh, Arkansas? Yeah, I wish it wasn't New Hampshire.
No. I've never had a threesome, though.
Really?
I don't think I can do it. Just because I'm, like, such a serial monogamist that, like, and obviously you're in a relationship, too, but, like, I couldn't deal with someone else touching who I'm with. I think it's great for some people, but I personally couldn't. I mean, I don't know for sure because I haven't done it, but I don't think I'd be okay with it.
Mm. That's interesting. Do you feel like you're set in what your sexual interests are at this point? You don't think there's any chance you picking up like a you're not going to become a furry like later in life or anything?
Become a furry.
You know, you ever think like you hear other people talk about their fetishes and you're like, I wonder if I got that and I just don't know.
No. I don't really anticipate becoming a furry or anything of the sort. No, I just like, I don't have any weird fetishes, honestly. What's really weird is people who transition as a fetish. That makes me sick. Like, people who, like, their fetish is, like, becoming a woman.
And is it hard to identify that as just being a fetish and not being a sincere interest?
No, because it's always the ones that, like, still want to fuck girls. Like, men who become women but still want to fuck girls. And they're just very, like, into being a woman. And, like, they're very much, like, turned on by their own bodies. Wow. And being with a woman.
I've never even thought about that.
They're called, like, autogynephiles or something.
But do you know any, like, dudes who you think transitioned into women just to be able to, basically be able to hook up with more women?
I don't know.
Because it's like a sort of very roundabout way to get to that destination.
Yeah, that's a lot of effort. I don't know if anyone really goes that far just for that. But I do know some people do treat it as a fetish, which is really, really gross to me. Again, can't relate.
Yeah. I mean, you hear that a lot. Like, it must be weird to be, like, Asian. Because, you know, you just know that being, as an Asian woman, you just know that some large percentage of guys who want to hook up with you, it's because they have that fetish.
it's the same with me. It's like, there's just like, I know for a fact that like the men who are going to be interested in me, there's like a 50-50 split. It's going to be a fetish or someone really willing to like have a relationship.
But couldn't a fetish turn into love?
Yeah, that's true. You know? That's true. A lot of people call guys who like trans girls chasers. It's like chubby chasers, channy chasers, whatever chasers, which I think is a little unfair because I feel like we shouldn't call like everyone who's into us chasers because it's kind of like derogatory, if you know what I mean. But chasers are a real thing too, and they're really creepy.
That's really interesting. Damn. Wow. I feel like I've learned so much.
I hope so.
Definitely. So what are you working on? You have anything in the works coming out?
I'm writing a book.
What is the book about?
The book, I don't want to give a ton away, but the book is basically going to be like everything that anyone has who has ever watched a single one of my videos would like want in a book. So it's like, if you only like me for politics, that'll be in there. If you only like me because of my life story, that'll be in there. If you only like me because of pictures on Instagram and you don't give a fuck about what I have to say, those will be in there too. So just like a complete Blair White book.
That's dope. I feel like the book thing is just like such a great business model to get into at this point, because it's just really like people just are not gonna scan a 200-page book and just upload it. Like, nobody's bootlegging a book. It would just be too much trouble. Like, nobody's gonna fucking go download that shit on fucking the Pirate Bay. They're actually probably gonna pay.
They're gonna pay.
They're gonna pay the $20 for the book because it would be such a pain in the ass to actually bootleg it, even though you totally probably could.
Yeah, and the thing about my audience is like they read. Like people, they actually ask me for a book. So
I'm not sure that I would agree with that about my audience. I'm not sure that I know that they read.
Do you think they can read or they don't read?
No, I definitely think that they can. But when I look at the traffic and the stats on like rap blogs, which to me are pretty useful because it's like, you know, there's stuff being written that is, you know, more in depth than what you could just get on Instagram or Twitter. It's like, okay, like this seems like it should be popular, but then nobody seems like they're looking at him anymore in 2019. Like, it seems like people have just completely gravitated towards like reading short stuff on Twitter, but then everything else is, you know, either video or it's, you know, social media, little even shorter videos, people's stories and whatnot, or, you know.
Yeah, people's, I mean, not really my audience, but like I think in general, people's attention spans are just so much fucking shorter. Everyone is used to seeing and hearing from people in like blips and like short.
That's why the book thing is interesting, because it gives you a chance to really like define yourself in a more serious way. Like, look, I am an expert on this exact area of our world.
Yeah, for sure. And like, it's really been an interesting experience just writing it, just because I don't want to give too much away, but it's been interesting writing it and delving into what I'm delving into.
Learning about yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I feel like this entire year I've just been learning more about myself. I'm more of myself now than like ever. Which I guess that's the case for everyone, but like, I feel like I've changed a lot this year.
Yeah. That's good. That's dope. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I feel like we learned a lot, and I think my audience will be better for it. I feel like I'm better for it.
Good. I love that. Amazing. Mission accomplished.
Yeah, it was great. Anything you want to shill for? You want to tell them where to follow you? I guess you just search Blair White on YouTube. What are you, fucking stupid?
Luckily, I'm the only person named Blair White online.
Really?
Pretty. There's no other like influencer Blair Whites or anything.
Oh, that's good. That's awesome.
Yeah, there was one like hockey player named Blair White, but I totally like outdid him in Google. You can't even see him anymore.
There's like a gene called Adam 22.
Really?
Like a chromosome or some bullshit.
Weird.
It's a weird thing to be competing against. Yeah, it's never going away.
That's never going away. Never going away. Yeah. Just search my name, Blair White. It has an E at the end. Everyone forgets the E. Twitter is Ms. Blair White and Ms. Blair White. So it's Instagram and then YouTube, just Blair White.
If you get married, are you going to change it from Ms.?
Ooh, that's interesting. I don't know. Probably not. I feel like changing your hand. I think you get unverified if you change your handle.
Yeah, but if I'm sure you can get switched back to.
Maybe, but I don't want to risk it because
that's a good excuse. No, I can't change it. I want to get de-verified.
Sorry. I value the blue pixels.
Sorry.
I will change my name legally, though, to his last name, but I think my stage name will stay Blair White.
Twitter is too important. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. Well, appreciate you. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Blair White, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us on YouTube, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Like, comment, and subscribe. Peace.